cross presiding.
Please be seated. Good afternoon. We have one more case on our oral calendar today, on our January 29 hearing. And this case is State of Minnesota v. Coleman. It's in the matter of the civil commitment of Epperson. You're in the right place. This is like the first day of class, right, where you show up and the professor says, everybody here for calculus? And you realize you're in the wrong place. You're in the right place, but there is only one argument we'll be hearing, that by the appellant in this case. The respondent has waived oral argument. Ordinarily, we'd have 15 minutes per side, but in this case, with an additional 5 minutes of rebuttal. In this case, there will be 15 minutes of argument with no rebuttal, unless you'd like to argue counter to your original.
No, thank you.
You're welcome to give both sides if you like.
No, thank you.
Otherwise, you will have 15 minutes to present your argument, and you may proceed whenever you are ready.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Scott Ikeda. I'm an Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the Commissioner of the Department of Human Services. The Commissioner finds herself again in the odd position of trying to extricate herself from a case where the actual parties to the case don't care if she's there. That the Commissioner is arguing against no one today says everything. Not to mention, Your Honors, that she wants to extricate herself from a case where the law actually prohibits her from participating. Minnesota law says that she's not notified of the commencement of a civil commitment proceeding. Minnesota law says she's not allowed to, that a summons can't be issued to command her appearance. Minnesota law does not allow her to attend the pre-hearing examination of the individual subject to civil commitment. Minnesota law does not allow her to receive notice of the commitment hearing, and Minnesota law does not allow her to call and question witnesses. That there's an empty table to my left tells this court what it needs to know about whether complete relief can be granted or accorded to the parties in her absence, which was the district court's stated justification for ignoring the actual litigants in front of it. If either party, petitioner or respondent in the case, believed that the commissioner's presence was necessary, they would have told the court so and they would have told you so. There's no dispute that Mr. Epperson was civilly committed, and there's no dispute that his civil commitment ended. Indeed, the district court—
Is there also no dispute that he sat in detox for more than 90 days after the commitment order, and that DHS didn't find a placement for him during that period?
Well, so It is undisputed that he spent, I think it was 91 days or so, in detox. And what the record shows through the transcript below was over 30 of those days were appropriately in detox. And so the commissioner doesn't dispute that there was no bed available for Mr. Epperson in a CD treatment facility operated by state-operated services. What I think the county, if you look at the record below, what the county actually said when the district court questioned the county social workers, I think there were two there, the county said, you know, Mr. Epperson was really difficult to place, that he was on or he was not allowed at many of the treatment facilities throughout the state, and that they, in fact, I think at one point testified that they stopped looking for places because of the difficulty placing him and relied on this on placement at state operated services. I will say this just
that's an important point though. So they said that the private placements weren't really available, so they were relying on state operated services, and the court in committing someone has to decide on the least restrictive program. And to do that, the court has to consider a range of treatment alternatives. So the court is involved in assessing treatment options. I mean, they are not devoid from that. The court shall, this is 253B.09 subdivision 1B, the court shall consider a range of treatment alternatives, including but not limited to. The court shall also blah, 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 on and on and on. So the court is involved in treatment decisions, and then the commitment is to the commissioner, and the commissioner is to designate the place. So the commissioner may not be a party at the earlier stages of the proceeding, but the court can't complete its responsibilities under the statute, or it would be an abdication of their responsibility. Say, okay, I'm done with this. He can sit and detox forever. I figured out that he should be in state-operated services, but there's no way to enforce that. And who is the party who would enforce it then, if not the court? I mean, you know, the Epperson, I don't know, I didn't see it in this record, but he probably thinks he shouldn't be in any program at all, and he should be set free. So he's not going to say, no, I insist on the commissioner placing me, I want a writ of mandamus. I mean, who is to enforce that right there? Because the only constitutional basis for commitment is treatment. So if a person's sitting there not getting treatment, that's unconstitutional.
So, Your Honor, the answer to the question...
For a long question.
He looks ready, though.
I think there were a few questions in there, and so
yes,
I'll try to address them in hopefully the order that you raised them. The question about whether what the judge actually decides, in a civil commitment case, the judge decides whether to civilly commit he can commit someone to a particular facility or a commitment to the commissioner of the Department of Human Services. And so it's not all of the civil commitments actually go to the commissioner of Human Services. The second thing is, you know, the commissioner, I think, I feel compelled to say this now, is that, you know, I don't think that the commissioner doesn't want there to be an unavailability of beds. And the commissioner would love if at any point in every county around the state that there was an appropriate bed available for everyone who needed it. That's just not the reality of the situation. The budget that they have, the legislature that appropriates them money, and so and they actually have to follow federal regulations, which came up in the hearing below, which tells them how to prioritize placement of people in CD treatment facilities, because there's a recognition that there aren't enough beds available for everyone who needs them. And then I think with respect to the question near the end, Your Honor, about how does someone like Mr. Epperson enforce his rights, Mr. Epperson in this proceeding has an attorney. Mr. Epperson, nothing prevents that attorney from raising a claim. If people believe that a state official is shirking a duty that is required of them under law, they have extraordinary writs available to them. If he believes that he has a right to treatment that is being violated by the commissioner, he has Section 1983. That allows him to raise a claim, and within that statute, a fee-shifting provision that allows for attorneys to recover fees when there are successful claims against the government. And so there are remedies, and I will point this out, and I'm sure the court knows this from the many cases involving the Department of Human Services, but people routinely raise lack of treatment allegations arising out of a civil commitment in separate 1983 proceedings, and also in federal court as well. So there are remedies, in fact, available to a committed person. And in the proceeding itself, that committed person has counsel as Minnesota law requires. But the significance of this, I think, you know, to sort of take a step back, Your Honors, is I think that the briefing made clear, this is an issue that has arisen primarily out of one county in the state of Minnesota, that, you know, the judicial branch ran some numbers for us a little while ago, and apparently there are over 3,200 civil commitments to the commissioner of this sort, MI or CD. And we're talking about now we're at 12 civil commitments, 11 out of Crow Wing County, one out of Clearwater County, because the same judge, it appears, sat as a senior judge in that county and issued a similar order. Where these judges are finding that the commissioner is a necessary, indispensable party that the complete administration of justice can't be found without the commissioner's joinder. And I submit to you that there are 99.6 or 99.7% of cases in the state of Minnesota with commitments to the Commissioner of Human Services where that is not the case. And you have the two actual litigants, the petitioner and the respondent, who are not here to tell you that they actually need the commissioner here. In fact, I will tell you from the motion to dismiss hearing, the petitioner's counsel was asked if he had a position, this is the Crow Wing County Attorney's Office, if they had a position and there's an exchange where the Crow Wing County Attorney's Office says, you know, we sort of agreed with what Judge Tenek was trying to do, but when the Attorney General's Office asked us if there was any authority to support it, there wasn't any. And I think that tells you, this court, a lot about the legal basis for the district court's order.
This is an exchange that was on the record?
It was, Your Honor. It was. And so what we know, because, you know, in December of 2018, this same judge who issued the joinder order also tried to hold the commissioner in contempt or have an order to show cause hearing and ordered the commissioner and her lawyer to show up on Christmas Eve. And I believe that this is part of the addendum that the county submitted, was the judge's brief in that writ and the, I believe it was this court's order on the writ, granting the writ, restraining the district court from holding the show cause hearing. You know, it appears, at least from the outside, that this is what the district court believes is step one to hold the commissioner in contempt of court. Because what this court has said in the Christodoulou case from a year or two ago, which we've cited in our brief, the commissioner is not a party to civil commitment proceedings. And because she's not a party, you can't hold the commissioner in contempt in that particular proceeding. And then in the writ of prohibition, the court said essentially the same thing. The commissioner is not a party to civil commitment proceedings. And by the way, you didn't join her in the case. And what it appears happened is the district court ignored the first part of this court's holdings in Christodoulou and Sanford, and focused on the second part, which was, and by the way, you didn't even join the commissioner, and decided that they were going to fix that problem and join the commissioner. But that just goes against the case law, goes against the cases that actually have been presenting the issue of whether the commissioner is a party. But it also goes against longer standing case law, Cola Drubetz, which we've cited in our brief, Navratil, that talk about how treatment-related issues are not within the province of the committing court.
But is this really a treatment-related issue when the issue here is just getting the placement in the facility, not the type of treatment that's provided?
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, if you look at the Navratil case, that was a case where an individual was saying, I just got civilly committed as a sexually dangerous person, civil commitment, and they didn't provide me any of this treatment. And this court said that's not within the district court or the committing court's authority as to whether you received treatment. And I think that's where the district court sort of motivation or thought process was, if you read the order, where, you know, it's sort of talking about how he spent over, I think it was 84 days at one point, without having been moved from detox. But this court has repeatedly said the commissioner's not a party and the committing court's not the proper place to raise any kind of concern about whether you're receiving proper treatment.
Couldn't we read most of these, the prior cases it involved Crow Wing, and then I think wasn't there an order to show cause out of Hennepin County as well, the 4th Judicial District, as more that while there were procedural problems because nothing was served on the commissioner, and the court in this case went to great lengths to try to eliminate that concern. So couldn't we view this as a case of first impression, if you will?
Respectfully, Your Honor, I don't think so. I think this court was clear in Christodoulou, and I think this court's order in the Sanford writ of prohibition made the point clear that the commissioner is just not a party to civil commitment proceedings, which is very much consistent with just case law generally about what makes a party a party. And, you know, we've cited in the brief what makes a party a party, the opportunity to participate in the hearing, the opportunity to examine witnesses. And those are all things that by statute the commissioner is actually prohibited from doing. She can't do it. She doesn't have a right to receive even notice of the hearing. She doesn't have a right to even participate in the pre-hearing examination of the individual. It appears, because she's not allowed to do those things, that there must be some other purpose for a district court judge, sua sponte, without even the petitioner asking for it, making her a party. And in fact, I think what's also raised below, which was an interesting point, is that the commissioner, there's no pleading that tells the commissioner what the claims are against her. That's also a hallmark of being a party to litigation that's missing from this case.
Can I ask you to speculate, and feel free to say, forget it, this is way beyond what is presented to us in this case. But if there was a 1983 action under these facts, would it be a defense for the commissioner then to just say, you know, cite those case, the case law that you implied about, well, it's up to taxation and appropriations, and state government has to balance how they spend the state's resources. I mean, would that be a defense then in saying there aren't immediate placements?
So, Your Honor, with respect to the question about whether it would be a defense to 1983, I'm not sure about that. I think if someone's got a constitutional right to something, there's case law about whether you can use budget priorities as a defense to a 1983 claim. And I just am not prepared to definitively say one way or the other. But to answer Your Honor's question, you know, I think what you're getting at is, are there circumstances where you could say, hey, you know, the state budget doesn't allow for this, the legislature didn't appropriate this? The answer is that is a defense in writs. It's a defense in orders to show cause where a district court tries to hold you in contempt. It's essentially the defense of impossibility. And Your Honors, with that, the commissioner asks that the court reverse the order, and given that we've got 11 other cases coming behind, ask that the court hold that the commissioner is not a party to these kinds of proceedings, and reverse the decision below. Thank you.
And out of curiosity here, so I gather your position is that the law is so clear that the court acted erroneously, abusing its discretion. If the law is very clear, I suppose you would say we don't need to issue a published opinion on this question. Or what is the commissioner's position as to whether we publish our opinion?
Well, Your Honor,
or is that contingent on whether we rule in your favor?
Your Honor, the commissioner does think the law is really clear in this area. The commissioner does. I think it's fair to say that you know, given I think Judge Siegel, you brought up the Hennepin County order to show cause. There was one instance out of Ramsey County, but most of this is occurring up in this up in Crow Wing County. I think it would be helpful to the commissioner and to the bench just to have some guidance about, you know, some clarity around this issue. But I see your point, Judge Ross, and I think it's abundantly clear. And just to be clear, I think a lot of these questions get de novo review up here. The issue of jurisdiction, the issue of failure to state a claim, I think we'd get de novo review. But putting that aside, I certainly think it would be an abuse of discretion, because this court has said the commissioner is not a party to civil commitment proceedings. If it did that in a published opinion, that would be helpful from the commissioner's perspective.
Thank you. Your time has expired. And we appreciate your argument, there being no counter-argument. Again, there's no rebuttal. I'll offer it again, the opportunity, if you'd like to give the other side.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
We appreciate your argument. The matter is submitted, and we will issue our opinion within the statutory period. That's the last case we have on our calendar today, so the court is in recess. However, we appear to have a few visitors here, and we're happy to stick around and answer questions, if you like, even though the court is in recess. Mr. Akita, you don't have to stick around.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And we're happy to answer questions, although we will not answer any substantive questions about the last case at all.